It's a great joy for me to introduce Dave. He is the year behind me in his, his journey. He started at Regent's Park College 1 year after me. As ever, those behind me have gone on, both in the spirit and in intellectual things. It's a great delight. He has been a joy to me as a scientist who, when I started at college, I was told that my degree was not relevant for ministry.
Yeah.
Still breaks my heart. And Dave ministered to me a few years ago, and just started to say, that's not right, is it? That all that we learn of God through his created world is surely relevant to the ministry of the gospel. And so that's been a great joy and encouragement to me. It's great to see him growing through this ministry and encouraging scientists to really explore who God is and to revel in the beauty of his creation and the great insight that we have as scientists that gives us an extra reason to praise and honor God. So Dave, come and join me. Let me pray for you and welcome you again. Lord, we do thank you for Dave. Thank you that he responded to that invitation straight away and was willing to come to us out here in the Fen. We thank you that you brought him here safely. We pray now, Lord, anoint him for this task. Lord, we recognize that heaven and earth, eternity, lie in your hands, O Lord. And your word brings us life. So we pray for the life of your spirit to fill your written word and to set our hearts on fire. Lord, we declare that this is your word by your spirit. And we free Dave from the authority of that. We say, Lord, you have authority to speak in and through Dave and direct into our hearts by your spirit. Take hold of this time and this your servant and use them for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Chris. Well, hi again. It is great to be here. I didn't know that you told you that, Chris, for reasons, but your degree was of no relevance to ministry. They never told me that, but one gets that impression. And I'm back at Regent's now doing a part-time master's. I'm doing it on science and theology. And believe me, they've not changed. But I remember what something you said to me when you left. I don't know if you remember it, but you said to me, keep on thinking about science. And I've held on to that. That was an encouragement to me. So, and it was great when Chris was back in Lineker, it was in Central. I organised this workshop called Science for Ministers. It was kind of based on the idea of science for dummies. And Chris was one of the speakers at that. Along, all the speakers, actually, apart from one, were ministers of Baptist churches. With our science backgrounds, and it was great to be able to do that, not just to bring in experts from universities to talk about science and faith, which often happens, but just to use ordinary ministers to talk about it, about a background in science and faith. Is my slides up? Am I on? Oh yeah, just skip through that, we'll come to that in a minute. I thought I might tell you a little bit about what being Baptist Union President is like, because it sounds really grand, doesn't it? But there is no power, because we're Baptists. Really. I mean, my role is to support Lynn Green and some of the other leaders. So these are some photographs from the Baptist Assembly in Peterborough. And, well, not all of them. That's that picture at the bottom with my El Presidente t-shirt on. That's back in my church when they baked cake for me. So my role really is a supportive and listening role. I visit churches. I'm visiting about, I'm touring about 20 Sundays this year, away from my own church, and it's great to see the variety of life. And we get to go to some of the national meetings as well. So this week I'm 2 days with the regional ministers at a meeting, and I'm not supposed to speak in that meeting. I'm there to listen and to pray and to kind of hear between the words what God might be saying to them. So at the end of it, I get to tell them 15 minutes worth of So that's a great privilege as well. I've travelled quite a few places, some places I've been before, some places I haven't been for a long time. So in June I was in Leicester, at Elston Baptist Church, for a gathering of the Baptists in Leicester. And this is the church that Carolyn, my wife, and I used to go to in Leicester, mainly in our third year, second and third year. I wasn't a Christian, she was. I used to tag along, and they looked after us really, really well. And the tall gentleman there, Stan, and Dorothy, his wife, they were there when we were in the church, and they still remember us, and it was great that he led worship that night. That photograph at the bottom is a photograph that was taken in 1982, when they had a cake-making competition, the BMS, and it was a men's cake-baking competition. And I remember after one of the Sunday services, a lady sidled up to me and said, would I bake a cake? Now, I like cooking, but I never baked a cake. So I said, I've never baked a cake in my life. And she said, oh, good. And she said, your wife will help you. And I leaned in closer to her and I said, she's not my wife. Which was true. She was only my girlfriend at the time. But she's my wife now. So it was great to come back. Guess who's with me in the photo? You recognise me there? Yeah, I'm the one, I'm the one in the middle with the beard. And then I did a kind of a tour of South Devon and Cornwall. I went back to the Met Office. I used to work at the Met Office for a long time. My friend Bruce arranged me to go and talk to the Christian Fellowship. He still works at the Met Office, so it's all his fault. And it's great just to share with 25 people. Some people are Christians, some of other faiths, some just interested, and then talk to some of the researchers to work with. And then I kept on going to Truro and then down to Penzance and St. Austell for the weekend to visit the churches down there. Very isolated churches. I know it feels a bit on the edge here. In Cornwall there are 6 Baptist churches, and most of them are very small. But Truro and St. Austell, they work together. They kind of have one minister overseeing them. They're looking at a new work in Penzance called Breeze, which is actually not in a church but in a shop, in a shopping centre there. They run arts-based ministry there and a prayer room at the back. And it was at St. Austell I met Frances here. Frances must be in her late 70s now. But when I said I worked at the Met Office, she was really excited because she worked at the Met Office as well. She used to work at Heathrow Airport in the 60s, taking observations, and we chatted about how many pens she could use at one time together and things like that. So it was lovely to meet her. No, they used to strap pens together. They used to strap a black and a red pen together with elastic bands to plot the charts. So, and if you were really good, you could have 3 pens together, a blue one as well. The good ones had 3 pens together. She could only do 2. I get as well to travel with BMS. So I went to Lebanon. In June, and went to visit Arthur and Louise Brown and their family. Arthur teaches at the Arab Baptist Theological Seminary there, and I spent a week there on a conference and also with some of the students. This is a graduation photo, very moving graduation service because these people have come out of Muslim majority countries and they're going back to those countries to serve Jesus in some really tough places. And we were saying last night graduation is really exciting over here, but when you realise that some of them are going to go back to places where Christians are not welcome, really, persecuted, it's more profound. But I also got a chance to travel into what's called the Bekaa Valley, which is the valley that borders Syria. That's where a lot of the refugees from Syria poured into. We visited Zaleh, a city there. And this is True Vine Baptist Church. It looks an amazing building. It's the culture in Lebanon. If it's going to be significant, it has to look good. So it is, their worship space is marble. Well, the walls are marble, the floor's marble. And yet in the basement, they're running a school for 180 kids, Syrian children. They employ Syrian teachers who are refugees to teach. On the top floor, well, if you go to the balcony, that was the waiting room for the medical centre on the top floor, where they run a kind of an A&E kind of service and then pass people on. And they also run this community centre in the middle of the refugee camps as well. And as Arthur said, they've given their heart and soul to these people to care for them, but they're not their friends. A few years ago, these were their enemies. And actually, a lot of Lebanese society doesn't want them there. but the Christians are trying to care for them, show them some of the love of Jesus. And they are seeing some of them become followers of Jesus as well through this. And then I get to go to one national significant event to represent the Baptist. And that was last Sunday. I was on the cenotaph at Remembrance Sunday, and then in the evening I was at St. Westminster Abbey for the service there, and my wife came as well. And that was quite a moving and significant moment, a great honour to represent our Baptist family there. But on the way out, of course, they said we could have our photograph taken outside number 10. Showed that to my friend Bruce from the Met Office yesterday. And we met up in Huddersfield. He said, is it any coincidence that you were standing there on Sunday? And then by this weekend, it's absolute chaos.
That was him being asked if he'd be Brexit secretary.
No, you don't mean to do that. So that's just a snapshot of a few of the things I've been doing this year. I have this theme this year called Divine Windows. Normally, often presidential themes are about growing the church or following Jesus more. I like science, and for me, science is a significant part of my life. So I decided if I was going to be president, I was going to do something about how science helps us to encounter God. Now, a lot of the time, if you listen to the media, it's the opposite that you get the impression of. Science is not a window to encounter God. Science is a brick wall that you come face to face with if you're a person of faith. But I know that's not true. Because I know that when I was a teenager, although science kind of pushed me away from believing in God, eventually it was science that enabled me to come back to faith when I marveled at the universe that I was studying. And there are a lot of Christians who are scientists. There are some of you here today, and down the road in Cambridge, there are a lot of famous Christians who are scientists. John Polkinghorne is one who comes to mind. And on the doors of the old Cavendish Laboratory in Cambridge, in that door, in Latin, is inscribed the words of Psalm 111, verse 2. The works of the Lord are great, sought out by all of them that have pleasure therein. Words, they think, were placed there by James Clerk Maxwell, the father of electromagnetic theory, which all of our mobile phones, by the way, relies on. And his successor, Lord Rayleigh, had that verse put on the front of every paper he published. For them, science was not a barrier to faith. It was the way they encountered God. When they built the new labs, the new Cavendish lab in Cambridge, they weren't going to put anything above the door. Until one of the research scientists called John Briggs, who's now a professor at Oxford, who was a Christian, submitted a proposal. They put that psalm above the door, and they agreed. And there it is still today, above one of the best physics labs in the country, in the world. These words, the works of the Lord are great, sought out by all of them that have pleasure therein. Science is not a barrier to faith. I spend a lot of my time, my scientific career has been in meteorology for 15 years. But actually, originally, I intended to be an astronomer. I just got sidetracked at some point into getting interested in clouds. And it was lovely walking after the party last night. By the way, is Kath here? Are you there? Didn't recognise you then, with that party dress on. Did you have a good time?
Yeah. Could have brought it, it said.
But we left a bit early, and it was great walking through the village and looking up at the night sky last night to see the stars. I love looking at the stars. When I was a kid, in the autumn, I used to sit in a deck chair in the back garden, my parents' garden, my teacher, with a pair of binoculars, staring up at the sky. And in the autumn, and they're still visible today, if you look up into the sky, you will see these stars. This is what Patrick Moore called the Summer Triangle that kind of lingers into the autumn. These three bright stars, Deneb, Vega, and Aquila. Deneb in the constellation Cygnus, the swan. Vega in the lyre, Altair in Aquila, the eagle. And more beautiful is that between them you get this faint, misty band of stars. Millions of stars shining together. The Milky Way. The Milky Way, our galaxy, with 100 million stars in it. And it gives this background glow to the night sky. I saw it like this in Italy this summer. I guess you might see it on a cold night. Did they turn the street lights off here after midnight? Oh, they do where I live, but you still can't see it. But if you go out into the Fens and looked up, you'd see something like this. I saw it in Italy this year. I mentioned this at a small group I was working with this week. Somebody said, this is what inspires them to wonder the Milky Way. And perhaps it inspired Paul to write the words that we're going to read this morning. That we are to shine like stars. So let me read you some verses from the letter he wrote to the church in Philippi, chapter 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and deprived generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, because you hold out the word of life. In order that I may boast on the day of Christ, that I did not run or labour for nothing, but even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so that you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Shine like stars. I struggle in my back garden on the edge of London to see that vision. I struggle to see those stars sunrise. So bright is the background glow of London and Watford and the surrounding towns. Even though they do turn the streetlights off at midnight in my town, I still can't see this. It looks more like this. You can still see Vega, Deneb, and Altair, but they're dimmer than they really should be. And sometimes, our shining like stars for our faith can seem dim too. We can feel unseen. In a world where faith in Jesus is not valued or honoured, we can seem dim in comparison to bigger, brighter lights shining in larger towns around us, and that's true of me as it might be of you. And personally, there are times when we don't feel our faith is as vibrant and bright as it has been in the past, or it might be now. And yet, despite that feeling that we are dimmed somewhat, together and as individuals, you know what? Despite those stars being dimmed by the lights of the city, they still shine on. They are seen and valued by God. Psalm 147 says that he determines the numbers of stars and he calls them by name. Millions of stars, and yet God takes attention to each one of them. I think there is a message in the stars, but you just need the right kind of lens to see the message. One of the things I've discovered being Baptist Union president is that you can show people your holiness vibes and nobody complains. Well, at least not to you in person. So we like to hold in Italy we like ancient ruins, and we were visiting some pre-Roman tombs north of Rome this year, when I noticed on the map there was this town called Civita di... Now, this is where my Italian fails me. Civita di Bagnoregio. I can't pronounce it. And I've heard about this town, because it was the place where a Franciscan called St. Bonaventura in the 13th century, this is where he grew up. It's a pretty amazing place, actually. It's perched on the top of this rocky outcrop, and all of the other rock around it has kind of been washed away. And every now and again, the road up to this town gets washed away, so we've now got this elevated path that you have to walk up to the town. You can't see the house where he grew up. It's fallen down a cliff a long time ago. The cellar's still there, and there's an iron staircase that you can go down to see the cellar. So I was really glad that the door, the gate to that staircase, was firmly locked shut. But I didn't fancy going down those stairs. But there's a little plaque commemorating him. Franciscans have always... their tradition has always seen creation as a way to encounter God. And Bonaventura said, you know, through creation, you can see something in the Creator's supreme power and wisdom. They shine out in the universe, in what has been made. I think he captures something there of what we read in Romans chapter 1, where Paul says that God's eternal power and divine nature have been seen clearly since the creation of the world in what has been made. So I'm always on the lookout in science and creation for something that I might encounter of God. So what might you encounter of God through those stars? Well, we take Bonaventura's line. We can see something of the Creator's power. And one of those songs we sang this morning, Pete, that was new to me, about the clouds in the sky and the vastness of the universe. I love that one. I didn't know that. So thank you. Yeah, but when you stand in front of the majesty of the heavens, you can feel small. It's what the writer of Psalm 8 expressed, isn't it? When I consider your heavens, what are we? What am I, small that I am? And the universe is vast beyond even our imagining and our grasp of things. And the Milky Way, I said 100 million stars, actually it's probably closer to 300 million stars gathered together, and our sun is just one fairly ordinary, regular star about two-thirds of the way out from the centre to the edge. Nothing special. 300 million stars making that glow of light across the sky. And yet they say in the entire universe, every year, 300 million stars are born. And 300 million stars die. Stars seem immense and big, but actually they're fragile. They don't last forever. Some of them last 10 million years. Some of them, like our sun, last 10 billion years. These are big numbers beyond our grasp, and yet they're all fragile. They're all transitory in the face of the eternal God, just like we are. Calls for humility before this powerful Creator. The humility that Paul speaks of in this chapter. Humility whether you feel you shine brightly or dimly. And then maybe we see something of the Creator's love. You know, that verses before the ones we read where Paul speaks of Jesus being made in human likeness. That speaks of God's love and value for all creation. In all its variety. Now all stars shine, but there's a variety of size and brightness and colour. So if you look at those stars there, Altair and Vega, brighter, they're about the same brightness in the sky, but they're definitely brighter than Vega. Those stars, Altair and Vega, are about twice as large as our sun. And they're about four times brighter than our sun. Just they're a long way away. They're 16 and 25 light years away. That means that the light takes 16 and 25 years to get from them to the Earth. Death looks fainter, but you know, things are deceptive. It looks fainter, but in fact it's 100 times further away than those two bright stars. It's 2,500 light years away. That light set off to travel to the Earth before Jesus was born. And it's fainter because it's farther away. In reality, it's huge. Deneb is 200,000 times brighter than the sun. It's huge. It's huge. There's a variety of stars in the universe. A real difference in size and brightness and length of life. And God values that variety. And yet at times we can be so suspicious of the variety amongst us and between us. And yet God sees the true brightness of all. He knows the value that is in each person. That's what he said of Jesus. Jesus knew what was in a person. He knows what is in you. Whether you feel you are shining brightly or whether your life and faith are dimmed, he knows the potential in you. And you do not have to appear to be the brightest star in the bunch. God still values you. And he can help you shine. It tells us something about the Creator's love of diversity. And I think those stars tell us something about the Creator's purpose too. Each star plays its part in the history of creation. Deneb is big and bright and will burn fast. It will only live for 10 or 20 million years before it goes bang. And it won't be there anymore. Whereas stars like Vega and Altair and the Sun, they can live for 10 billion years. And each plays their part. A star like Deneb burns fast but generates chemicals that actually are needed to make you. Makes carbon and oxygen and nitrogen. And when it goes bang, it scatters them out into the universe. But stars like Altair and Vega and the Sun, they last for much, much longer. And they nourish life. They nourish you. They enable life to flourish in all its wonder and all its majesty. See, it's God who works in you, as Paul wrote, to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Whatever brightness you are, individually or together, you are part of God's purpose. The different shinings that there are amongst the church and in the church all fit together. Brighter does not mean more valuable. Everyone is valuable in the purposes of God. But watch out for those things that dim you. Because if you look at the Milky Way, you find there are black spots within it. That bright brand is interrupted by these dark patches in the sky. And that's dust. That's the remnants of dead stars. Little grains of dust in space, which block the shining of the stars behind it. Be careful of dust that stops you shining. Do everything without complaining or arguing, because these things can get in the way of the purposes of God and how God wants us to shine. You will shine like stars in the sky. So next time we walk you through the village on a cold winter's night, and I'm sure you get lots of cold winter. Next time you're walking through the village, stop and have a look up. Look at the sky. Look at its beauty. Remember the Creator's power. Remember the Creator's love. Remember the Creator's purpose. And know that power and love and purpose is at work within you, no matter how bright you feel individually or as a community together. Just trust that God is helping you and will help you to shine as you hold on to the Word of Life, as you hold on to Jesus. I thought we'd end with a little prayer activity. I've got a free gift for everybody. Thank you. Normally they say the Baptist, they'll say you can have a, you know, a free gift to give away. But normally it's a bookmark. So I said, well, that's a bit boring, really. Anyway, it's all on Kindles now. I said, can we give away a scientific instrument for people to have? And they said, well, what do you mean? So I showed them what I meant. And they said, oh, yeah, we can make you some of those. And I've got a few left. And they're making me some more. I've been too generous. But I thought I'd give you all one this morning. Now, there's something you need to know about this scientific instrument. It's a piece of card with a window in it. And there's two things I need to warn you about it. The main warning I need to give you is never look at the sun through this. Because it will hurt your eyes. Seriously, it will. Because the sun's just too bright to look at. You can look at any other light. So we're going to give you one of these instruments, but you have to be patient. You have to not look through it until I tell you to. Can you do that?
No.
I do this with children, and they're very, very good. Okay, so can I have a few volunteers to give out my scientific instrument? Somebody might need to go upstairs.
I'm upstairs.
Somebody else want to help me? Chris, can you? Dr. Dave rules. Yeah. Which one? Listen to Dr. Dave, you're right. Yeah, sorry, I can't. Yeah, when I do Messy Church with my group, we have about maybe 12, 15 families come through to my little lab that I set up, and we have three rules. And the first rule is listen to Dr. Dave. And that's fine. And the second rule is, guess what the second rule is? Well, actually, the second rule is, if you get what the second rule is, just think about the first rule, which is listen to Dr. And the third rule, guess what the third rule is? Well, if you get the third rule, and if you get the second rule, you just think about the first rule, which is listen to Dr. Dave. And the fourth rule, what's the fourth rule?
Do what he says.
No, the fourth rule is have fun. So, everybody got one?
Yeah.
Okay. So don't look through them yet. But I've put a light on the screen, or you can use any light in the room. Just look at the light, either on the screen or through the windows. That'd be okay. And just look at the light. Okay. Let's just be still and quiet for a minute. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And we are encouraged and invited to shine like stars in the universe. What kind of light are you shining? Somebody's cheated already. You can look at the lights now through your window and see what you can see. It's better on the windows, actually. should see a rainbow, lots of them. So as you look at those rainbows, the variety of colours that are in them, I wonder what kind of light you need Jesus to be for you today. You need him to bring the calmness and peace of the room. You need him to bring the life of green. Or the joy of yellow, or the energy of red. What light do you need Jesus to shine in your life today? And this week, how will you shine? Will you bring peace? Will you bring light, life? Will you bring joy? Will you encourage and energize someone? Who needs those things as you journey this week? Among those you will. Jesus, thank you for sharing our lives. Thank you for giving us life and hope. Help us to receive that today and in this week. Help us together. Help us as we live our lives apart. To be your light for others. That may may know peace and hope and life and joy. That may discover that you might shine through their lives and have purpose for them. Help us to pay attention to how you journey with us. And help us to have eyes open to what you might show us. We offer ourselves to you to shine light stars for you, Jesus.